Starting it. So we're just going to start. Hi, everybody. Thanks
Hi.
For, I was on the wrong notes, so I was about to talk about Nintendo Labo again.
Yay!
So please don't do that.
We're doing, why not? You don't want to talk about cardboard Lego?
No.
No.
That you can turn into a piano?
Oh. No. You know, people actually like this thing.
We talk about this every week, I feel like.
I know.
So, this is perfect. It's a stupid idea.
It is.
Unless you're a child.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's stupid even if you're a child.
It's just not for me.
No.
Well, guys, this is the 31st episode. We got our numbering back on track after last week's not knowing what number we were on.
Nice.
And we got some good news. Well, good is subjective, I suppose. News to get through this week. And then we have the Jason's second long comic rack in a row. But lots of toy stuff and lots of comic books, including something that nobody asked for. Well, actually, I don't know that. I didn't ask for it.
Oh, I think I know what you're
about. Whoa.
We're going to see what happens.
I'm happy about it. Okay.
Actually, there's a couple things on here that I don't think anybody asked for, but I asked for. So we're going to jump right into this. Our first piece of news this week was we have a Nintendo download for this week. And I hope you like new Pac-Man games, because Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 Plus is here on the Switch. It's $20. I don't know, Jason, you said you played the first one, right?
I did, and I liked it.
Cool.
I mean, I'm a pretty big Pac-Man fan, but I really enjoyed Champion Edition. So I'm thinking about this. Might get it.
Cool. Yeah, no, I mean, I like Pac-Man a lot as well. I'm considering it. So we'll see what happens.
It's not really traditional, you know, traditional Pac-Man, though, just in case anybody's wondering. Like, there's like different variations on it, and you have to complete. If this is anything like the first one, you have to complete pellet trails to open up like a different maze, and then you get thrown into the different maze, and then you complete the trail there, and you get a different maze. There's still ghosts and ghosts to eat and stuff like that, but they changed like a lot of the mechanics. I shouldn't say changed; like they just put like different spin on stuff. So.
Where the original Pac-Man works really well as a high score arcade game, where you're trying to get the high score and everybody's working with the exact same thing. This is more of a game, would you say?
Yeah. And it's not like you play like one board, and then like that's it. You know, it's just like a set maze. Like it changes as you go, and like it looks really cool too. The graphics are great.
Yeah.
Like, very neon. Kind of fun.
I remember in the dentist office, they had arcade games, and then this knockoff Pac-Man, but it was a ladybug. So that was good. That was good. also on Nintendo Download this week, we have a game that's been getting a lot of controversy. I don't think we covered any of it, but if you go on the Reddit, you'll see a lot of controversy for this. Payday 2 is coming out on the Switch. And the controversy stems from Overkill, the developer, not supporting their console ports and just kind of pushing out a years-old build of the game on the Switch. So, do with that what you will. That game came out on February 27th. Actually, it's not even out yet. So, release is in 2 days. So,
yeah, Eric, I don't even know why this is. I don't get it. But
honestly, I played the original Payday on PC. And I played a little bit of Payday 2. It's fun if you have the people to play it with.
Mm.
But on the Switch, it's going to not be my first choice.
It seems like such an arbitrary release, though. Like, there's no, like no one was asking for this. And it's, like, it's old. And just, here it is. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just weird.
Well, I don't have a problem with it being old. Like, if they released Left 4 Dead, that'd be fine.
Mm.
But the fact that they are releasing a game that they haven't supported on consoles in ages, and then they're releasing an even older build for the Switch. That's where my problem lies. I don't care that this game came out so long ago. I care that they're continuously updating it on PC, and they basically left anybody who bought the console editions left. They hung out to dry. So,
is this a full price game?
I don't know. Probably. Actually, that's
yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I imagine.
Oh yes, now I have to verify my age on Nintendo's website. if you look on, if you keep looking, SteamWorld Dig 2 got released on the 3DS this week. It's $50.
Oh, okay.
It is too. It's
almost
full price. $50. I mean, like I said, if you have people to play it with, it's a fun game. But I can't imagine buying and supporting these devs when they do this to the console owners.
What do you think of the Super Mario Odyssey update, Balloon World?
Yeah.
You know, pretty cool though, and this is has no bearing on anything, but it's pretty cool. I saw on somebody posted on Facebook today that the balloons, the way their balloons are arranged, and Luigi's head, they mimic the buttons on the European Super Nintendo controller.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
it's pretty cool. It's a fun little thing.
Yeah, that's not going to make me boot the game up, though.
No, me neither. I will never play this, but whatever.
So we have a Neo Geo game this week, of course. Magical Drop. I don't know what that is. Does anybody know what Magical Drop 3 is?
It looks like a puzzle game.
Yeah.
Like a match the colors puzzle game.
Yeah. We have Ace of Seafood. It's like a shooting game where you're a fish, so that looks good. So Heroic Episode is an arcade archives game. Bridge Constructor Portal. So Valve is continuously proving that while they will never make a game, they will let people make things using their engines and their properties to make money, but they will never actually make another game. They will let people make all the TF2 and Dota 2 cosmetics that they want, but they will never make another game. So there's Bridge Constructor Portal Edition.
Can we also talk about the game that I thought was called Dragon Stinker when I first saw it? Because it looks kind of cool.
I almost bought this game, yeah. It looks kind of like an old school Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, it's an old school RPG.
Yeah. It looks neat. Dragon Stinker. I really thought it was Dragon Stinker.
Oh, man, that would be a fun one. There's a billiards game. It's called Pool. There's another one in all caps called Membrane. I don't know what that is. Radiation Island. Space Cats with lasers. Rick, that's
not your
game. I know, right? Right up my alley. It does.
Spot the difference.
Whoa, fat dragons.
Superola and the Lost Burgers. We had some high quality releases this week on the Switch. Tell you what.
Are we not going to acknowledge fat dragons?
I missed that. Where is it?
Down at the bottom.
Oh, yes, on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Fat dragons.
It's also on the Wii U for some reason. If you combine the two, we could have Fat Dragon Stinker.
Fat Stinker Dragons. Oh.
There's so many fun ways to combine them.
Or if you do Typo Man, you could make Fat Stinky Dragons.
Nice. Typo Man actually looks interesting.
Boy. The art looked interesting, but that didn't make me look enough to buy it or even look into it even more. So
no offense to the people who made the game, but I'm not buying it. But it looks interesting.
Oh, it actually does look kind of cool,
right?
Neat.
Well, yeah,
so I think that's about it for the Nintendo download. There's some all right stuff on here, but it's not as big a week as we've seen, and I'm sure we'll see bigger weeks in the future.
It better be.
We also got some pretty big news on the Nintendo side of things.
Yes.
Mega Man Legacy Collection got dated for the Switch.
Nice.
It's coming out on May 22nd, so that's cool. It's going to come in one package. I'm sure you can buy them separately digitally, but if you buy them physically, you buy one package, and it has, similar to Bayonetta 2, it has the first Legacy Collection on a cartridge, and then a download code for the second Legacy Collection. I don't know why they couldn't fit it all on one cartridge, because that doesn't seem too tough.
But yeah. I don't think there's any reason they couldn't have.
I mean, they fit flipping Breath of the Wild on one cartridge. I think they can fit a couple of Mega Man games on one cartridge.
Yeah, come on. Breath of the Wild, Bayonetta 2. I mean, these are pretty, you know.
This is going to release. Oh, what's up, Jason?
Are you getting this?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, me too. And I actually just bought both of these on the Xbox sale over the holidays, so I have them already. But I love the idea of getting them on Switch. So.
Right.
I'm down.
Yeah, and it's going to be so neat being able to have every main Mega Man game ever on one console.
Yeah, it's cool.
I mean, and then once the X collections come out, that'll be neat. And then you're still going to be missing some of the spinoffs, but I'll be okay not having Battle Network.
I'm very excited about the X collections.
Oh, me too.
I haven't played those games in a long time.
Same. The most recent I played was the first one, and it's because it was on the SNES Classic.
Mm-hmm.
The SNES Classic. The
SNES?
Yeah. Some people would say.
Yeah, and some people would correctly call it. The SNES Classic. I still haven't gotten a NES Classic, so I'm very excited for this summer.
Oh yeah, that's getting another. Yeah. That's getting a reboot, isn't it?
Yep. And I think there's probably cause for excitement because if you missed it, and I think like almost everybody did, you're probably going to find it. It seems like the Super Nintendo classics are like everywhere at this point. So I think there's probably a good chance you're going to get a Nintendo if you're in the market.
When do you guys think they're going to announce the Nintendo 64 Classic?
Not for a while.
Yeah. Honestly, not soon enough. I'd love to see it.
I think they're going to announce soon. It's going to release this fall. I mean, I think we can almost guarantee that based on the history and the fact that the patents for it and the trademarks for it went through already.
But if they do, I would say probably around E3.
That's fair.
I mean, I can't imagine them just... Well, then again, it's Nintendo, though. They do this all the time kind of stuff. But I can't imagine, for some reason, them just, you know, throwing a press release out there. Hey, Nintendo 64 Classic is on the way. But you know what? They probably would.
Right.
Forget that.
That's going to be weird with the controller and whatnot.
You mean the best controller ever made?
Yeah,
probably. Yes.
That'll be interesting.
It will be. I'm excited for that one. But those games didn't age as well as the older ones, so we're going to see what happens. Some of them did.
You know, it depends what you're talking about. A lot of those, like we were talking about that that 40 Winx game. You know, that's made in the fashion of kind of the ones that didn't age well. Like the more polygonal ones.
Like Earthworm Jim 3D.
Let's not talk about that.
You know what we should talk about, though? We should spend a lot of time talking about.
What? Oh, no.
Going fast. Sanic's getting a movie.
Oh, baby.
It's going to release in 2019, apparently.
Yes.
November 15th. So
who's excited?
Have you guys ever played Sonic Adventure or Sonic Adventure 2?
Yeah.
No, yeah,
it's a little like that. It's just going to be a little blue CG character interacting with human beings, and it's going to be horrifying.
Yeah, I really hate this idea. I really do. This is a terrible idea. They should just do an animated movie.
Honestly, yeah. Yep, I agree.
I mean, this is dopey. What the hell wants life? I mean, didn't we see already this doesn't work? This kind of stuff.
I don't know. Garfield did pretty well.
Did it?
That's funny.
On many levels.
Yes. I think they did make three of them, though, didn't they?
Oh, wow. Did they? I didn't realize.
And there's at least two of them, because they went to France or something. I feel like the second one of every movie like that, they go to France.
You know, I really like Garfield, like, a lot. He's one of my favorite comic strip characters from when I was a kid. Have not seen any Garfield. I can't bring my...
Yeah. I can't watch it either.
You know what character deserves a movie? You know, I don't know where I'm going with this. I don't have any. I don't have a conclusion for this. So, Games with Gold for March were announced. Wow.
Oh boy!
I was gonna say Marmaduke, but they already made a movie about Marmaduke.
Oh my God! You're right.
Good old Owen Wilson. Thank you very much.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Anyway, so Xbox Games with Gold for March have been announced. It looks like an interesting lineup. Starting on March 1st, you'll go ahead and get Trials of the Blood Dragon. This is like a 2D platformer game. They combine Trials, the motorcycle game, with I guess it's like 12 years after Blood Dragon happened, so these are what's his face's children, Rex Power Colt, Roxanne and Slater. And so I guess you'll like run through some levels, some 2D levels, and then you'll have to like jump on your motorbike and do some twist and turns and 360 jumps or something, I'm guessing. I don't know. Anyway, it's free, so that'll be fun, right? And then on the Xbox 360 for March 1st, you'll be able to pick up Brave, the video game. I bet we're all clamoring for that one.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I don't know what to say other than it's Brave. And then for the second half, and for the second half of the month, we'll get Super Hot, which looks interesting. It's kind of like a low poly red game, kind of, and then you can kind of control time, I guess, as you move, but if you stand still, time doesn't move. I don't know, sounds interesting. It looks pretty fun. And then the other game is Quantum Conundrum, and this looks like a cartoony first person game where you solve puzzles because your uncle he disappears somehow, so you have to use objects in his lab to try to find him. So, I don't know. Not the greatest month, but maybe some of these will be some gems, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about Trials of the Blood Dragon. And I'll try Super Hot, because I remember that was Super Hot a couple of years ago. So I'll try that. I never played it. The 360 games seem like a total waste, but whatever.
Yeah. So, you know what? Even though Rick just told me what they were, I already don't remember what the 360 games are. So. yes.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
Was Quantum Conundrum ever a thing? Like, I seem to remember that name. I don't know why.
I definitely know the game. I never played it. I remember when it came out, because came out around the time that me and my friends were really onto the Xbox 360 when I was in high school. Mm. Mm-hmm. But I never played that, so.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys. I think the Xbox One titles look pretty good, but the 360 titles I could do without.
Oh, God, yeah. I can't imagine that meaning. Guys, we just, we figured out the free games. Brave and Quantum Conundrum. We've locked them up.
Well, you know, I think this is worth a real conversation. With the uptick in Games Pass quality, and especially when we're talking about the fact that first party games are going to be available on the Games Pass when they release, do you think that that might take some of the value away from the Xbox games with gold? Do you think they're going to be trying to push more towards that?
I don't think so. Maybe. Yeah, actually, you know what? You might be right. Maybe we'll see less AAA titles because Rise of the Tomb Raider is going to Game Pass next month, along with, you know, Sea of Thieves. So you might be right. Maybe they'll stop pushing so many AAA titles.
I guess I could see that. They're definitely making money on one of them, and they're definitely spending, or not, maybe not spending, but they're losing money by putting, you know, first party games on there. Like Sea of Thieves is going to be on there, and we know the next Halo is going to be on there. So they're definitely losing money in sales for those. Yeah. So they'd be trying to give away less value on the other one.
You know, speaking of Sea of Thieves, we should probably talk very quickly about that.
Was there NDA on it, Rick, when you were playing it?
I don't think so.
Oh, well.
But they had the scale test this weekend, and I was able to hop in there if you had the preview Xbox thing, or you're part of the preview club, which reminds me, I'll invite both of you guys.
Cool.
Yeah, so it was just a scale test. I think it was pretty straightforward. You didn't really get to customize your pirate, and you only got to choose from either a really small ship or the big galleon ship, and they just dropped you right into like the very first area, I think, and they tried to team you up with, I think you can initially team up with up to four other people or three other people, so a total of four people, and then you, I think pretty much the game was open after that, so you could go around and there's like different factions. It's kind of like an MMO in that sense. So you can go to these different factions and they'll give you these missions. And then the missions are essentially, you know, go look for treasure. So we did a little bit of that and we did a little bit of pirating. And it's just a really fun game, I've got to say. And I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's it was a lot of fun. It really takes a lot of good communication, too. Like, I didn't know any of these people I was playing with, but you really have to be able to communicate. Like, you have to be able to talk, or at least, you know, be able to. Last night, I was playing with four people, and two of us had mics, and the other two could hear us, but they weren't talking. So, I mean, that part kind of sucked, but they were still be able to communicate with us in some sense. Because there is, like, a talk wheel you can use.
Okay.
So you can say like certain things, but it doesn't have like all the words you probably want to use in it. I mean, what else could you do? It's really fun. You can have these two instruments. One of them is like an accordion, and then the other one's like a, I don't even know what it is, like an automatic guitar or something. But as you're sailing, you can play, and then everybody will kind of play in unison. So it's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And last night we were trying to attack this ship and it was docked, and then this other ship rolled up on us, and so now there's like three ships trying to like attack each other, and then these one guys were smart enough, were like, these other two ships are fighting each other, so they just bailed, so this other ship just followed us and they eventually were able to sink us. And it was yeah, so it's a good time. I mean, there's some stuff that still needs to be worked out, like some the res time, because like you'll get on someone's boat and then it probably takes about 2 minutes for you to res back up, but you know, I mean, that's a pretty short time. So if you're like trying to ransack someone or like steal their treasure, so hopefully they'll mess around with that, but otherwise I think it's gonna be a great game. I'm pretty excited for the full release.
Excellent. I was not excited at all about this, but now I am.
Same. I didn't care, but now I care.
Yep.
It's going to be so much fun, especially if you get like a good crew. Like if the three of us play and we find someone else, it'll be a very, very fun game.
Excellent.
I'm excited for that, especially since it's going to be on Game Pass.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so excited. There's going to be so many more people. I think a lot of people have that same like thought, or like are in the same book you two are, and just don't really understand what it is. But I think the fact that it'll be on Game Pass is just going to be open it up to so many other people now.
Awesome.
That's definitely where I was. I didn't really know what the point of it was. Like, I get it. You're pretending to be a pirate. Haha, very fun. But I don't understand what you do.
Yeah, right.
You pirate. You go around and you be a pirate.
You can pirate.
You can go steal people's treasures, or you can go like build up your stuff in these factions.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, I mean, it sounds great.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing, too. Like, it just looks really, really good.
Excellent.
Do we have the release date on this? Does anybody know off the top of their head?
I don't.
March 20th or March 25th, I want to say. Hold on a second.
Gotcha.
Coming up soon, then.
Cool. Yeah, well, March 20th.
Oh, so less than a month.
Yep.
So while Rick's... Oh, wait, Rick found it. Well,
yeah.
Guess what? This is coming, guys.
What?
Oh, my God. Take me down to the Paradise City.
Burnout Paradise Remastered is coming out on the PS4 and the Xbox One. And maybe the PC.
Yes. I don't know why this isn't coming out on Switch.
Because
that's a really good question.
EA is colluding with PS4 people. So,
I'm excited.
You guys ever play this game? Did you ever play this game? Yeah.
Nope.
This is one of my favorite racing games of all time, so I'm pretty stoked about this.
This series is awesome. This game is really
cool. This is the first time they did like open world racing, and they did it well. So, if you can, I don't know. It's probably going to be what, $50 brand new?
No, $39.
Wow, not bad. Yeah, that's definitely a good price point. So I would highly recommend it if no one's played it, and it's going to be remastered because it still has that burnout. It has a burnout element from like the very first few burnouts where you like the point of the game was to crash, right?
Yeah.
So it has that element, and then it has racing elements, and then it has like the burnout elements where you can race and crash cars. It's just a really great game.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I said in the article that it's purely fun, and that's really what it is. It's just, there's nothing like too, like, you know, in depth about it. Like some racing games can get really, like, you know, mired in customization and stuff. That's not here. This is just,
I mean, I think there's what, like 40 cars or something, but you don't get to customize them. I don't think.
I don't think so either. And even if you do, it's not that heavy.
Yeah. It's like colors or something.
Yeah.
But what Jason said, just a purely fun game.
Awesome. And Eric, you need to play it.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Because, how dare you?
Yep. That's right. That's exactly what I just said. How dare me for never playing speedy game. So, there it is. Burnout Paradise. I don't know what this next thing is. So, who wrote this?
Megan.
Oh, excellent.
I skimmed it this morning.
Take us through it?
Yeah, sure. So this is a horror game. It's called Madison. At least I think that's how you pronounce it, because the M-A-D is capitalized, the I is lowercase, and then S-O-N is capitalized. So I think you're saying Madison. I'm not terribly sure.
Okay. I think so too.
so it in her article, this is actually a review of a demo, but apparently it's kind of an in-depth demo. So it's focuses on, I guess, people who are mentally deranged. I guess I don't know. She talks about a couple of characters who are you know, a little off. Or one character, actually, is Luca. But it comes across in her article like it's a little bit of a Myst-like game, but I think it's set in first person, and I think it's more real-time, so you're actually moving around and stuff like that, like Resident Evil 7. But you basically are solving puzzles. She said it's really scary, though. So, I mean, that's cool. It's a horror game, so.
I think that's, for Megan to say it's really scary, I think that holds a little weight, right?
Yeah, I mean, she actually, because she's really into this kind of stuff, and she graded it on the horror partially, and she gave it an 80 on that. So I guess it's kind of up there. Yeah. She also highlighted the fact that you are using a Polaroid camera to take pictures of stuff in the game.
Yeah, and I saw that.
Apparently, you have to actually shake the picture when it comes out of the camera with your mouse.
Nice.
As fun as when you had to blink in that one game that came out on the 360.
What game was that?
Oh, I forget what it was called, but you had to blink.
Okay. If
you blink, you like your was vision blank? Got all foggy.
Was it Blinky?
No.
Blinky the Clown?
Uh-huh.
A little darkness or something along those lines.
Oh.
Blinky of the Darkness?
Deadly Premonition?
No, I don't think it was Deadly Premonition.
I know. she also talks about the realism of the boxes of Polaroid film. And that might seem like a weird thing to highlight, but I'm actually looking at the box in her review, and it's actually pretty interesting. So I guess these are like old boxes of film that you find, and they are like all dirty and beat up, and you can actually see the corrugated lines from the cardboard in the box. This is like the most detailed box ever made in a video game. So if that means anything to you, you're going to want to check this out. Overall, she gave it an 82. And we normally don't review demos. It's more like a preview, but I guess she felt like this was worth it. It's if you like horror games, this is probably one to check out.
Who doesn't? I do. For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
That wasn't sarcasm. I really do like horror games.
I know you do.
All right. And the game of the month for January.
Well, January was packed. But
yeah. It was.
We picked one.
We did pick one.
It was Monster Hunter. Anyone?
Monster Hunter.
Was waiting. I was like, ah.
I thought you were going to say it.
Oh, well, I didn't actually put it together, so I was going to let you do it.
All right. So, yeah, it's Monster Hunter World.
Yay! I voted for this.
Did you play it?
Yeah, I played it.
Okay.
I played it a lot. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
All right. Wouldn't it be?
Why are you guys attacking me?
Walk us through it. Walk us through it.
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
What's it like? What's the cat's like? Tell us about your little opinion cat.
So you start out in the game and you can make any kind of character you want. Well, he has to be a human, but you can do anything else. Get any kind of hair, skin color, eye color, whatever, hair color, whatever. And after you're done making your human, you get to make a cat friend who comes along with you on hunts. They're called Palicos, and they're little cat boys, and they run around with weapons and stuff. They're really good. So the whole premise of this game is, if you're a fan of Monster Hunter, you know that the story never really mattered, but it seems like they actually kind of tried with this one, and there's a bit of a story here. Basically, there are these ancient, I don't know if they're actually ancient, but there's giant monsters. They're called the Elder Dragons, and they are on the old continent, and they, every 10 years, they go to this new continent. I apologize for that cough. And you're part of the 5th fleet to go across the ocean to the new continent to hunt the, to see where these dragon boys are going. And throughout the story, you are, you know, hunting different monsters to protect the camp or get resources or something, and that's just to get through the story of the game. The main gameplay draw of Monster Hunter is using obtuse weapons. Oftentimes they're obtuse, not all the time. And that's only until you get to use them, until you get to know them. They're just obtuse if you don't know what you're doing. And fighting big, scary monsters. There's a number of messed up T-Rexes I fought. You know, there's these flying things. You mount on them. You can jump on them and stab them in the head until you hit them with your hand. It's a lot of fun. It's a very grindy game, though. The core progression of the game is getting enough resources to build better weapons and armor. There's no actual stat increases for the character. It's all in terms of weapons and your armor. And you build those by carving up dead monsters that you kill. So after you kill a big monster, or any monster, but the big monsters are the important ones, you take out your knife and you carve off pieces of it. And those are your loot drops. And then you can take them to the smithy to build new weapons, new armor, stuff like that. There's tons of stuff to do in this game. Weekly events. There was just a Street Fighter crossover where if you have Street Fighter 5 save data. Yeah, if you have Street Fighter 5 save data on your PS4, you can do this special quest, and if you complete it, you unlock Ryu's whatever his clothing's called. I forget what it's called. But he can get that and dress up as Ryu. It's pretty
funny. Or as we used to call him when I was a kid, Ryu.
Yeah, well, you're probably
Ryu.
No, you're right. Oh. it's Ryu, but we used to call him Ryu.
So, yeah, this game's a lot of fun. Especially if you have people to play it with, you can coordinate your hunts. You know, there's so many different weapon types. There's like 14 different weapon types. They're all vastly different. There are different weapon trees you can build. It's just, there's so much to it. It's just, this is the first one I've ever really played that I've really in earnest played, and it's a lot of fun. And I really think it deserves to win January's Game of the Month.
Nice. Is this an early favorite for Game of the Year?
Oh, man. I mean, as of now, sure. Yeah. You know, we don't know what's going to come out in the future. It also depends on how much you play it, you know? If I stop playing it in March, then it's probably... I wouldn't probably consider it by then. But if I play it a lot, you know, it'll probably be on my mind and I'll consider it.
Okay.
I think Bayonetta 3 is probably going to be a Game of the Year contender.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a really good one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I will tell you what's definitely not Game of the Year contender, but is really fun and came in second place in our Game of the Month voting. It's Street Fighter V Arcade Edition.
Ooh.
That is correct.
Okay, fair enough.
Now, this introduces the arcade mode, which should have been there from the beginning for Street Fighter V, and it's honestly really terrible that it wasn't. But it's in there now, and this is the version to get. However, if you have a previous version, I think the arcade mode is a free download. So there you go. You get a couple of new characters. There's, I think, new costumes. The arcade mode really is the star, though, and it's not just one mode. It's multiple ones. They built into this game arcade modes from every Street Fighter, every main Street Fighter release. So you could actually play the arcade mode from the original Street Fighter, like just Street Fighter. You can play the mode from Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 3, Street Fighter 4. It's really cool. I like how they did it. I wish they would have tailored like the costumes. Some of them are tailored to the previous games, like when you play through their arcade modes, but some of them aren't, and it's a little weird. But overall, it's really good. I like it a lot, and it's fun. And if you're going to get a Street Fighter V, which now I can actually recommend Street Fighter V, Arcade Edition is the one to get. So that was our follow up. That was our silver. Then we had our bronze game of the month. We actually had three this month, and it's going to be Dragon Ball FighterZ. And I know absolutely nothing about this game, but it looks really cool. And yeah, there you go.
I know everything you need to know about this game. All right, listen.
Okay.
It's a fighting game. It's a 3v3 fighting game, like Marvel vs. Capcom. At least the recent ones. I know 2 like, was 2-1 too.
Oh, I was going to say, is it like the good Marvel vs. Capcoms or like the crappy Marvel vs. Capcom?
I only think that it's a tag fighter. That's all I mean. I don't know anything about the actual mechanics of Marvel vs. Capcom. And you pick three Dragon Boy fighters, fighter boys,
fighters,
and you go to town. So I didn't pick up this game. I think I was in the same boat as Rick, where it's kind of on my radar to get when it goes on sale. You know, I like fighting games, especially when it's a property I like a lot. Mm-hmm. But you don't need this many Gokus in a fighting game. It's like 8 Gokus or something. And they just announced a new one. They just announced a new one. And for the first batch of DLC characters, it's Broly, who is like the legendary Super Saiyan, Bardock, who is Goku's dad, and then another Goku. So, like, come on. I don't know why they need all these Gokus. Just put one or two.
That's a lot of Gokus.
Put, like, regular Goku and, like, Super Saiyan Goku. I think that's all they needed. But nope, they needed, like, every level of Super Saiyan, the blue hair Goku, the white hair Goku. Stupid. That's my take.
What's the difference,
Eric? I mean, different power. I mean, obviously different power levels. But, like, I don't know what this game. I have no idea. I played it. But
Sounds like a waste.
I think, yeah, definitely. This is like, you guys were very upset about some of the characters, the Mortal Kombat characters being in Injustice 2. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, okay, but couldn't that have gone to a different person?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We need, it would have been cool to have one of the Spice Boys, but no.
What?
The Spice Boys were a very brief villain in Dragon Ball Z.
Oh. I thought it was an alternate dimension, like, boy band.
Nope. Yeah, that's cool. But, yeah, I mean, this is still on my radar to pick up eventually. I just don't know why they need so many freaking Gokus.
What's your price?
I don't know, probably like $20.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're going to be waiting for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's fine.
Okay. So around Christmas time.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
You know, speaking of games that are almost on in my price point, I almost picked up Battlefront 2 this weekend.
Oh, dear.
It was on sale because it was like $24.
Oh, yeah, like, nice. Wait a minute. Where was it on sale?
PSN and Xbox.
Yeah, okay. Because I was thinking if it was Best Buy with the Gamers Club Unlock discount, that would take it down probably under 20.
Yeah. So, pretty close to doing that. Just because I want to play through the... I've heard that the story mode's kind of trash, but I like the writers who wrote the game.
Mm.
And it's more a Star Wars story. So, why
yeah.
not?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I kind of want to play that too, because I liked the look of the campaign. So, I don't know. I'm sure it's not that good.
It's the guy who wrote Spec Ops: The Line.
Oh!
The other guy is... I'm not actually sure what he's written in games, but he was like on IGN and stuff, I think, for a while.
Okay.
So.
Okay, I want to play a little more now.
Yeah. But, alright. And I think that's just about it for the games.
Yes. So, Jason,
do you know what that means?
Deep breath. Okay.
Can I say real quick?
Yes.
No, who wanted a Bumblebee graphic novel?
Who wants a Bumblebee movie?
And just the look, the aesthetic, this book does not look fun to me.
No, it kind of doesn't. It kind of looks weird.
Take it away.
All right, so we actually have two pieces of Bumblebee news. Well, in Transformer news, in the comic shop. It is the worst. Yes, thank you. So we actually have two pieces of news. The first is the Bumblebee graphic novel. So this is coming this year. It's from IDW. It's a standalone story. It's set in the 1980s. It has a very old school looking Bumblebee. But Eric is totally right. The art design is kind of weird on the cover. It just, I don't know what that looks like. It just looks more like a logo or something.
It's like, you know, almost a minimalist.
Yeah. I don't know how you would even describe that, but yeah, it looks, it's odd.
Describe it. Not a fan.
There you go, folks. Not a fan. That's how you describe it.
Not a fan. That's how you describe it. Not my feelings towards it. That's how you describe it.
Not a fan, folks. And this is coming this year again. This will be out. When is this coming out? It's a standalone graphic novel. I think it probably plays into IDW's Transformers universe. So. I mean, there's, you know, if you like that universe, I kind of do and I don't. I've read some issues of IDW's Transformers stuff. I'm a huge Transformers fan, so let me just get that out of the way right there. And some of it's been good, some of it's been really fun. Some of it is not, and I don't like some of the choices that they made with the characters, and like old school characters like Prowl, they made him a bad guy. I just, you know, I'm not crazy about that.
Yeah, it's weird.
But it's just, I don't want to see Prowl teaming up with the Constructor. So it's just strange stuff. So, but anyway, this will be out on September 11th. And it's going to be $10. So this is not a cheap comic. And I don't think it's, I don't know if it's that long, to be honest. I don't see a page count. So. This does, however, play into something else that's coming up, which is the Bumblebee movie. And let me tell you, if you don't like this, you're going to hate that. That's going to be out sometime around the holidays. I don't know the release date on it. But it is a part of the Transformers movie universe. So that means it's going to basically have those designs. Just thinking of Eric's reaction just now.
I'm really upset.
It's just so awful. But it's coming out this holiday. It also is set in the 1980s. So this is a theme. Not that the graphic novel plays into that at all, because it doesn't. But you know, similar things. However, this is kind of interesting. So this week, around Toy Fair, some very, very interesting news broke out about the Transformers movie universe. And it's basically that it's over. So Bumblebee will be the last film in the Transformers movie universe, as you know it, because it will be getting a reboot after that. Now, Hasbro will allegedly be much more involved in this reboot and saying how it goes. So if you are a big Transformers fan, and I am certainly not saying you should get excited, but there's a maybe a chance that it's going to be a lot more like the Transformers that you know and love. We'll see. Again, don't get too excited. So
for the ignorant among us, mm-hmm. me, how is that different from...
Okay, so...
Because I took the first few, and I didn't hate them.
Yeah, no. I mean, Eric, I'll tell you, I know people who didn't hate them also. And I think if you're not a big Transformers fan, you could just look at them and say, hey, they're fun, stupid, you know, action spectacles, you know, and that's it. But if you're a big Transformers fan, everything about them, basically, was completely different from the actual Transformers mythos. Probably nothing more glaring than the actual designs, which Michael Bay and his team basically looked at them. And I read this somewhere, and I can't remember where. I wish I could point it out. But he basically said that he looked at the original designs in the original cartoon and said, this is really stupid, and I'm going to make it better.
Wow.
So, yeah. So he completely changed, you know, what is a beloved and very, very fan favorite IP. And, you know, the designs of them, to make them look somewhat insect-like and alien, quote unquote, it doesn't, I mean, to me, it never worked. The only one who kind of looked like himself was Optimus Prime. That was it. And even he didn't really. So yeah. It just, you know, it just wasn't, you know, not great. So hopefully, this means that the designs are going to be getting back to what Transformers should look like, at least to some degree. Hopefully we're going to see an origin story that's more in line with the comics and with the original cartoon and the movie. You know, originally the Transformers were on Earth for like, I'm going to say billions of years, like in like a comatose state after their ship crashed in the distant, distant past. You know, this is really cool stuff, actually. And to change that, to have them be like just these lumps that fly through space and land on the planet Earth, it's just kind of... So I hope we see a good story. I hope we see some good design.
Maybe we'll see Beast War. Beast Wars.
Hey, you know, there's always a chance. and not that I want that, but...
I have one more question for you.
Shoot.
If these are ancient, you know, robot boys who mm-hmm. landed billions of years ago...
Yep.
Why do they look like modern cars when they
transform? Because something happens... They're like lodged in basically like a... in like the side of a volcano, their ship. And if I remember correctly, something happens where the main computer of the ship comes back online. And I think it has something to do with the geologic activity or something like that. So the main computer comes back online. And what it does is it revives all of the Transformers present in the ship. They're all like basically not, you know, for lack of a better term, unconscious. And they're all just kind of laying there in comatose state. And it revives all of them. Now, Transformers transform into different things. So they have a robot mode and then they have an alt mode. So the computer actually searches the planet to find alt modes that work for each individual Transformer that's in the ship.
All right, that's kind of cool.
Right? So it scans out there into the world and it finds like a semi-truck and it's like, okay, this fits for Optimus Prime. This will work for him. So it scans that mode onto him and then he can transform into a semi-truck.
That's kind of neat. All right. I was like, how does this work? But that's actually really neat.
And their Cybertronian modes, which is where they're from, Cybertron, are all like really different. Like they're not that. I think Bumblebee was like some kind of like little hovercraft or something like that. And yeah. when he comes to Earth, he gets scanned into a Volkswagen Bug. So it's kind of cool.
That is neat. All right, I thought they just had one kind of mode that they could transform into, and that was it.
No, that would be crazy though. No, that's not it. So that's the Transformers news. Cross your fingers on the movie. Bumblebee graphic novel nobody wanted is coming out September 11th. So we'll move on to our Valiant comic previews, and there's really just one book coming out this coming week, and it is Exo Manowar. I think it's number 12. Okay, so this is the last off-world, I think, arc for Exo Manowar before he comes back to Earth. This was a part of a year-long story. So it's getting to its conclusion at this point. And we've got some extremely bizarre preview pages up in the story, which basically involve Arik as Exo Manowar. First sitting there in the desert naked and then fighting some guys naked. So it's like a really weird, I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Yeah, I haven't been following the story that closely. So mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what's going on here, but, it's there. And, I know a couple of these elements. I think he got, captured and separated from his armor, which is probably why he has nothing on. He's got this big like globe that's like hovering globe that's following him around, and that's actually a head of an alien robot. So I guess kind of like a Transformer, getting back to Transformers again. This robot is trying to help him out, I think. This is the beginning of the final arc before he gets back to Earth, and there you go. If you're if you're an Exo Manowar fan, this is a pretty big one, so you're gonna want to check this out. Moving over to DC, we had some Nightwing news this week as writer Benjamin Percy comes on board with the book. And he's going to take things in a pretty different direction for Nightwing, in that he's going to basically overhaul Bloodhaven, which is where Nightwing is based. And that's like it's like a neighborhood. So I guess it's like the Bronx or like Brooklyn off of New York. So it's like a neighborhood associated with Gotham. And so he'll be kind of overhauling that a little bit and really updating the city as some new groups move in. He's going to be making it more like a high tech kind of a thing, which is very different. So I don't know how much that works for Nightwing, because you think of Nightwing as more like a noir-y kind of thing, you know, like Batman. But yeah, we'll see. I'll definitely try it out. I like Nightwing, so I'll check that out. One thing that he did point out is that Nightwing's optimism and general upbeat attitude is something that he's going to be hanging on to, so don't look for the character to change it in terms of his personality. So, and that's cool. That'll start pretty... I think that starts this... May. Sorry. Okay. So moving from DC over to Marvel, we've got some actually pretty enormous news this week. For a while now, Marvel has been trying a lot of different things. And I think we talked about, you know, we mentioned it last week. They've been getting into, like, just like kind of like forgetting about their more traditional characters, kind of moving them out of the spotlight. In the case of some, like Tony Stark and Bruce Banner, like basically killing them off, stuff like that. So slowly over the past couple of months, you've seen a resurgence of these characters. And now we have news that something called the Fresh Start is going to be kicking off this May. And what that is an entire, it's not a reboot. So it's an entire revamp of their line. And basically they're taking all of the stuff that kind of didn't work and forgetting about it. So you're going to see Tony Stark back. You're going to see Bruce Banner back. You're going to see Spider-Man back to being, it looks like your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, because I don't see that like high-tech holographic spider on his chest or anything like that. You're going to see Cap. You're going to see Thor back as Thor. There's a big splash image that was released with this. They got Ghost Rider in there, Deadpool, Black Panther, Venom, Daredevil. I mean, these are all the characters that, you know, that are traditional, iconic Marvel characters. Wolverine, including some new ones. So they've got some of the ones that actually, you know, were somewhat hits with fans. You know, you've got Miles Morales, Spider-Man. You've got Ms. Marvel. You've got Captain Marvel right, you know, back in there in a central point. You've got the new Ant-Man and Wasp. Of course, those are going to be very big characters because the movie coming out. So, I mean, I'm actually really, really excited about this because a lot of what Marvel did over the last couple of years sort of lost me. I lost interest in a lot of characters and just kind of like, you know, even with ones that were, the more traditional ones like Peter Parker, Spider-Man, I kind of lost interest in that too. And so, I'm very interested in seeing where this goes. I hope that it's what I think it is and that it's a good return to the more iconic Marvel universe, but we shall see. One thing that actually kind of bothered me from the splash image was that Wolverine was in his civilian clothes, and it's not old man Logan. It's Wolverine. So it's the new, you know, returned Wolverine from the dead. Why he's not in a costume, I have no idea. But so that kind of bothered me. But other than that, I have high hopes for this. It starts in May and we already have some previews up. So we have a preview of Black Panther number one, which I got to say sounds great. It's very different, however. So if you're a big Black Panther fan, or I guess if you've seen the movie too, because this is different from that, and you just started to kind of like Black Panther, this is actually taking Black Panther into space, and it's more like a sci-fi saga than anything else, where he's basically traveling through, I think, the multiverse. To different like versions of Wakanda, which is his homeland, and it's kind of like there's this weird, I'm gonna say maybe like I forget how they put it in the press thing, but it's like an empire of Wakanda that was established in his name, but he's not, you know, in charge of it. And it's kind of like, it's going to be like a big sci-fi thing. So I kind of came across to me as more Guardians of the Galaxy, than anything else, but it sounds cool. So, you know, I'll definitely give it a shot, but if you're more, that may be one of the ones that if you're a more traditional Black Panther fan, you may not be wild about that, but I would say give it a chance because it kind of sounds neat. Other than that, we also have a preview up of Avengers number one. Which revamps the team, I think, in a very good way, although there's a few characters in there that actually only one character that I'm like, I don't know how that one fits. But you've got She-Hulk, Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, which is kind of an odd fit, I think, and Ghost Rider, which is a really odd... I don't see Ghost Rider on the Avengers.
Which Ghost Rider is it?
It's Robbie.
Okay.
So I know he's not Zarathos. I guess he's not the Spirit of Vengeance, but he's still a Spirit of Vengeance. And I get that with the whole Avengers thing and the whole thing. It's, yeah, that's good. But I just picture any Ghost Rider being a part of the Avengers. But
yeah,
he's there. So, and what do you think of that, Rick?
I don't know. For you? Yeah. Kind of like you. It just doesn't seem like it fits. He's the one with the car, right? Not the motorcycle.
He is. Yeah. Yeah.
So how's that even going to work? Like,
maybe they all ride in the car. It's like, come on, guys.
No more twin jet. Just hop in his car.
Yeah. You know, also kind of weird that I actually just realized, is that in the preview image for Fresh Start, the big splash image, She-Hulk is in there and she looks like She-Hulk. But, and the cover of Avengers number one, she looks like a female version of the Hulk. In other words, she's like gigantic.
Ugh, so that's not cool.
I just noticed that. It's really kind of odd. But anyway, we'll get to the third one. There's a third preview up this week also, and that's Venom number one. So this is, it's a little bit of a mystery. It throws Venom up against some new bad guys who are hidden under New York City, not the Morlocks. So, I mean, that actually would have been kind of neat, but not the Morlocks. But it looks like the same, you know, Venom that we know and love. It's Eddie Brock. So, looks kind of neat. One thing I wanted to also stress about all of these number ones is that even though they are number ones, the actual legacy numbering will not be discontinued. So you're going to basically see, like, I forget what Venom is up to, but it's like Venom number 155. But it will be like, you know, there will be a number one there associated with it. So in other words, this is the start of a new era for Venom, but it's still, you know, within that legacy numbering. So it's kind of weird what they're doing, but I do appreciate it because I don't want to see those numbers disappear. I like those big numbers. I want to see them there on the cover. I like the sense of history that they convey. But I do get that they want to have number ones because this is supposed to be Fresh Start and the whole thing. If anybody's wondering, this whole Fresh Start thing might come from the fact that they got a new boss over at Marvel, whose name is C.B. Cebulski, I believe. And
I'm kidding.
Anyway, Stan, listen, leave Stan alone. Just let him be.
I'm just kidding.
So they got a new boss over there, and Marvel's sales, while they're still really good, were somewhat flagging over the last couple of years. So if you are wondering why this, you know, this Fresh Start, whatever, that's probably why. Again, I'm happy about it. We had a review up this week while we're talking about the comics, and it leads us into our little dark horse section of the news. The review was for Rasputin, Voice of the Dragon, number 3. I believe that was Mac who reviewed that. I think he's been doing all of these.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes place in, I think, the 50s. It's Hellboy stuff. So if you like Hellboy, you're probably going to like this. It's Mike Mignola doing the writing. So, I mean, you really can't go wrong with Mike Mignola writing Hellboy. Chris Robertson is in there also as part of the writing team. Christopher Mitten is doing the art, which looks really cool. Yes, it was Mac, and he tagged this with an 86. So once again, enjoying this series. He's also got links up to the first two reviews if you want to read through those. It's all in the story for Rasputin number 3. Now, as also in Dark Horse news, there was a pretty big announcement this week that, I don't know, it feels like it made like a negative impact, but I thought it was a pretty big announcement. And that is the Super Mario Brothers Encyclopedia.
I think this is cool.
I think it's really cool. But I heard like nobody talking about it, so I don't know.
Haters gonna hate, Jason.
I guess.
You can't make the haters like it.
I get you. Know, that is true. so, yes. All 17 Super Mario games will figure into this book, from the original Super Mario Brothers to Super Mario 3D World. It sounds great, and no, it does not include Super Mario Odyssey.
Does it include Super Mario Typing Adventure?
I would imagine not.
Well, consider it a failed sale.
So it's 85 through 2015 are the dates.
So it should have the typing game in it.
I wouldn't bet on that. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't get my hopes up.
Hold your breath, Eric.
Yeah.
What about Mario was missing?
Now, yeah, I also would not probably figure on that.
So you think all of Luigi's games are not in here as well?
I would think, yeah. Because they make a point of saying Death Super again. Mario. So
that's messed up, man. Poor Luigi.
Maybe Luigi will get his own art book.
Yeah, right. It'd be like, what, like two chapters?
Luigi's just cleaning that mansion. It's not his fault.
That's it.
Yeah.
I hate the cover on this also. I just had to throw that out there.
It's not bad.
I think it's garbage. It's like, what is that seems typeface?
Like it seems like an easy way out.
Yeah. I mean, the logo is not terrible. You know, the Mario giving the thumbs up and you got the dates. Okay, great. But it's like, where's like the Super Mario lettering? You know, they couldn't have used that. I don't
know. You know what this is? It's the lettering from maybe I'm on drugs or something. It looks like it's the lettering from Mario Brothers.
A stunning admission. The original?
Yeah, the arcade one where you jump on the turtles.
Yeah. I don't think that's even in this game, this book.
Well, that's stupid, and so is this book.
Oh my god! Well, listen, I'm totally down for it.
That's great.
But I just don't like that. Let's see. Get a little information on it. Track the evolution of the Goomba.
Oh.
Witness the introduction of Yoshi and relive your favorite levels. This tome also contains an interview with producer Takeshi Tezuka. Tips to help you find every coin, star, sun, and mushroom. No banana moons, though. Explanations of glitches. With information on enemies, items, obstacles, and worlds from over 30 years of Super Mario. Super Mario Encyclopedia is the definitive resource for everything Super Mario. So there you go. Except for Odyssey.
And typing game and Mario is missing.
Yeah, but nobody cares about those.
Yeah, but there's still Mario. I guess that's arguable. What about the CDI games? The Mario CDI games.
Oh, God. I really hate this cover. Anyway. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah.
we've got... You know what? There's one more piece of Marvel news that I probably shouldn't even bother talking about. And that's that Chris Claremont is returning. God. Now, that's okay, but he's returning for the wedding of Shadow Cat and Kalani.
Yeah. Yawn.
I don't care. I don't care. Does anyone care? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So there's going to be a wedding special issue, and it's, I guess, going to cross over into a couple of X books. I feel like this is a non-event, so...
I do too.
Yeah. Anyway, look for that at some point. I can't be bothered to look up the date, so if you want to, go ahead. It's up there. It's on DJ. Let's talk about more interesting things. So that's going to be Toy Fair, and we've had decent amount of Toy Fair coverage this week. Now we have a lot more coming. There's a couple of pieces that I didn't get up this week, so they will post next week. We go through some booths, checking out some cool stuff. I am going to actually just look up because I don't have the McFarlane story in front of me. But now you know what to expect from McFarlane. You are a McFarlane Toys fan at all. You know that there's going to be lots of Walking Dead. And there's going to be actually some surprising video game properties, though, that you may not have been aware were going to be produced by the company. The first one is We Happy Few. There's a Bobby from We Happy Few. And that, as far as I can tell, will be the only figure from the line. But he's kind of cool looking. And he includes swappable heads. He's got the regular mask head, and then he's got a gas mask face that you can switch on and off. It looks pretty cool. And if you're a fan of We Happy Few, this is probably as good as you're going to get. Pretty cool looking. Then there's also a complete line of Stranger Things figures. Now, if you're a fan of Stranger Things, I don't think there's been all that much to buy from. But this line includes a bunch of characters, and I mean, they're all pretty neat looking. The best one is probably the Demogorgon, which looks really fantastic. It's a 10-inch tall figure. Looks like it's got a lot of posability, which is... it's unusual for McFarlane. Although what's weird is everything seems to have like at least 12 points of articulation in these announcements, which again is strange for McFarlane because usually they do like more like mini statues than anything else. With you know that you can move like some parts, like maybe you can move the head, move the arm, something like that. You know, So this is a little different, and I like it. And again, the Demogorgon is I think the standout. Honestly, I think the standout of the whole show for McFarlane. It's just a really great looking figure. So if you're a fan of Stranger Things, you're going to want to check that out. Star Trek also is making its debut at McFarlane Toys. There's a couple of figures in this line right now. There's only two that have been announced with the Captains Kirk and Picard. And there's a phaser from Star Trek Discovery, which actually looks pretty cool if you're into replicas. Then there's the Destiny stuff, which has been hitting for a while now. There's three new figures. There's Zavala. There is Cade Six, and I think there's somebody else too, but I'm totally unfamiliar with Destiny, so I'm kind of lost on that. Then there's Borderlands, which actually looks really cool. I'm not a Borderlands fan, so... You know, this is not for me, but if you're a Borderlands follower, these are really neat figures, and I don't know that there were any others produced at any point. So this line includes Krieg, Zero, Lilith, Claptrap, Tiny Tina, and Handsome Jack. All of them look good. All of them include accessories. I think they all have 12 points of articulation. So they're pretty neat there. Then, of course, there's The Walking Dead. Which there's a couple of figures that were unveiled, including, I forget his name now. The guy with the bat. Eric, help me out. Negan.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So Negan. There's another version of Daryl. There's a couple of figures. McFarlane Sports Picks, the football figures, there were a few reveals, including Tom Brady. Get a new one there. There's some Naruto stuff. There's basketball figures. There's Tokyo Ghoul. So they're continuing a couple of their lines there. Then the building sets actually continue this year as well with more Five Nights at Freddy's, Rick and Morty, Hello Neighbor is like, I mean, as far as like collectibles and toys go, I saw a ton of it at Toy Fair, and I'm confused by that because it's not a big game, but it's like everywhere. I don't know. And the building sets look actually kind of cool, but I mean, I have no interest in them, but they look cool. Then there's Steven Universe stuff and the South Park stuff. So McFarlane's continuing its line of building toys, we will call them, quote unquote. Next up, we had some NECA booth highlights. And if you're familiar with NECA at all, then you know they're one of the best collectible toy makers out there. NECA has some incredibly cool licenses, including Aliens and Predator. And they've been making really neat stuff for years from all of them. This year, they got the Crash Bandicoot license. So I'm very happy about that. The first wave will include three figures, one of which I believe is a GameStop exclusive. There's Crash with his jetpack. There's a basic Crash. And then there's a deluxe Crash that includes his hoverboard. We profiled this figure a couple of, I think, 2 weeks ago. All of them will include a paper craft crate, which is cardboard, actually. So cardboard craft. That you can build.
Craft.
What there?
Labo craft.
Oh, I like it. Ah. Labo craft. I like it. I like it. All right, that's what we're using from now on. So there is a Labo craft crate packed in with all three of these. The designs look great. The sculpts look really nice. Crash's head looks a little awkward from the side because I guess it moves and there's a cut, you know, at the neck, so it's a little. A little odd looking, but overall the figure's really cool, and they have posable eyebrows. And there's no other really action figure on the market that's going to have posable eyebrows. So, you know, I mean, just for that. Then there's the quarter scale figures, which they were showing off. I think all of these had been announced already. There's a Wonder Woman, there's Captain America, Terminator 2, Arnold, a deluxe Deadpool, which I think we've seen, Daredevil, which actually looks really cool, Kratos, from God of War, and there's a new Ninja Turtle, is sort of in the quarter scale figure line. It's Raph with his trench coat. The Evil Dead series 2 Ash versus Evil Dead figures, and actual Evil Dead 2 Ash versus Evil Ed deluxe pack are being shown off again. We saw those a couple of times, and they still have not hit stores. So hopefully, sometime soon. Then there was some really cool Alien versus Predator stuff, including probably one of the coolest things from NECA this year, which is the arcade game stuff. If you remember, there was a Alien versus Predator arcade game a long time ago. It was kind of weird. It had Dutch in there, who is the Arnold character from the original Predator, but he had like this huge cybernetic arm, and the colors were really weird on like all the characters and stuff like that. And that is exactly what we're getting in a new line. And it looks really neat. Then there's also some more Kenner remakes of the Kenner aliens that came out in the 90s. There's a snake alien, which looks phenomenal. There's a scorpion alien, and there's a version of Sergeant Apone with his yellow t-shirt that says no bugs. These designs came out as part of the Kenner action figure line in the 90s again. But they were actually from a cartoon, which never hit the air. There was, I think, two episodes made or something like that, and they were never aired. I'm not exactly sure why, but they were never aired. So these are kind of cool in a couple of different ways. Then there is the diorama. So this is a little bit of a trend this year at Toy Fair with play sets making a comeback. And NECA has this huge diorama of like a two-story building that they were showing off. There's no pricing on it. They're saying summer 2018. It's going to be expensive. It just is. But they showed it with their Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 6-inch line. It looks really nice. It looks like it would be a great display piece for your figures. Again, I'm not sure of the price, but it's going to be up there. It's cool, though, and I like to see playsets making a comeback, so that's neat. And there's some other stuff in there as well. We've got down at the bottom of the article, you can check out some new figures from Elf and a few other things that NECA was showing off this year. We also took a look at the Loyal Subjects, which create a line called Action Vinyls. These are, you know, traditional kind of stylized, actually really stylized, vinyl figures, but they move like action figures. So they have articulation at the shoulders, at the head, at the waist. They have a Mega Man line. They have a Thundercats line. They have had Masters of the Universe, G.I. Joe, Transformers. This year they're showing off Mega Man. They're showing off WWE, including some classic wrestlers, which look really great. They also had some 90s Nickelodeon stuff up, which is kind of cool. They have stuff from the new Predator movie, which looked neat, and a Ghostbusters set, which also looked really, really cool. So you can go check those out. Keeping with the Toy Fair theme, we also took a look at My Arcade. Now, this is shown off at Toy Fair. I know it's video games, but it was shown off at Toy Fair. My Arcade, if you don't know, is a line of small arcade stand-ups. So these are actual arcade cabinets, but they're very small. They're basically handheld. Right now, there's a series of Data East units out there, which will be completed with two more games that are coming out. I think it's next month. Next month. Then there's one big 10-inch tall, which is meant to be a tabletop arcade unit as well, that's packed with 30 games. But each one of the small ones is just an individual arcade game. Now, these are actually the NES... the NES ROMs. So these are not the actual arcade game, but I do have a couple of these, and I can speak to the quality, and they're really cool. They're really well made, and I've actually had a lot of fun with them. I have Bad Dudes, and I have Burger Time, and they're really cool. So they're $30 a piece. The big stand-up, which will include stuff like Bloody Wolf, is $99. So it's that one's a little bit pricey, but the little ones are like $30, and they're actually pretty. If you like one of these games specifically, it's kind of cool to have. There is a second series that we'll be hitting sometime around the end of this year, which is based on Bandai Namco. And that will include Dig Dug, Pac-Man. So you're going to see some really cool stuff there. There's also a really neat little handheld Pac-Man game. So lots of stuff like that. They also told me at My Arcade that there is a license that they've just wrapped up for Series 3, but they would not tell me what it was, but they're very pleased with it. So you can use your imagination there as to which arcade games will be coming up in Wave 3. Like I said, it'll probably be next. To wrap up the Toy Fair coverage from this week, we also took a look at the new Ninja Turtle figures from Playmates. This is Rise of the TMNT. They're definitely an acquired taste. it's very, I try to stay very positive when I write about these
different
things.
It's different.
It's different. Yes. I'm not really, sure why some of the changes were made. I haven't seen any foot soldiers or anything like that, but they are in there. So the Foot Clan is there. I kind of thought they were getting rid of the Foot Clan as well, but they're not. So I'm not sure. The biggest new character's name is Meat Sweats. And he is a pig man who sweats meat. So
yes.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
A little bit.
Yep.
A little bit.
And his goal is to catch the turtles to eat them, I guess.
And turn them into his sweaty meat.
And then sweat them out. Oh, my God. Full circle. So, I don't know. The figures are colorful. They're well made. You know, if you know Playmates Ninja Turtle line, yeah, they're fun figures. So, I mean, these are right in line with the rest of them. There are some actually really surprisingly good flipping Ninja Turtles figures, which like flip either to the side, to the back, to the front, and the mechanic actually works, which like blew me away because I wasn't expecting that. I figured when they flipped, they would just kind of fall when they land, you know. but they actually land on their feet, which is stunning.
What?
So,
that's cool.
So anyway, they're kind of neat. And then there's giant size ones. There's Now, One thing that actually is really cool from this line is the vehicle and the playset selection. So, like we were just talking about that diorama from NECA, there is an enormous Ninja Turtles playset, sewer playset, as a part of this line. It's actually really neat. And it has an arcade in it with two arcade units. And the two arcade units that it has in it have stickers on the front from the classic Ninja Turtles arcade game. So the real arcade game. So it's like a screenshot from the arcade game. So, I mean, that's really neat. I love that little detail in there. I saw the playset in person. You can spin it around. It's got stuff going on both sides. I mean, it's a pretty awesome display, you know, or play space if you're a kid, obviously. And there is another one, which we will have up this week. I'm going to add the pictures to it because I took pictures there, but they were not in the press kit. So I'll be adding photos to this story. And there is another playset that actually links up to this one underneath. And it makes like a, I'm going to say like maybe a 5 foot tall playset. And it's really wide too. So this thing is freaking enormous. The second one is a hidden city, which apparently plays into the new storyline of Rise of the Ninja Turtles, which is supposed to be somewhat mystical in origin, which has never been a component of Ninja Turtles, really, of their origin. So watch for that, because we'll have photos of that up this week. And actually, I kind of forgot, but there were two more stories I'm going to touch on just really quick that posted yesterday, because I forgot I was still putting stuff up yesterday. The first one is Playmobil. So you can go right now and you can check out up on the website Playmobil's Ghostbusters sets for this year, which includes animated themed sets. So they have animated and they have Ghostbusters 2. The Ghostbusters 2 stuff is out right now, or it's coming. It's hitting like any week now. One of the neatest things about that is you can download the Playmates app and actually set the ghost traps up on your mobile device, on the top of your mobile device, and watch ghosts getting pulled into them. And it makes like it's really cool. I mean, when the ghost gets pulled into it, it makes like a almost a hologram, because you'll see the way the trap is built. It's got like a, I think it's like a selection of mirrors around it, and it the way it sets it up, it looks really cool. I can't really describe it well enough, but these sets are $10.99 each, they're actually really neat. I mean, if you're a big Ghostbusters fan, I could definitely see getting one of these for the desktop. Then there's the real Ghostbusters stuff, which is all classic animated series themed. There's four sets there. They're $21.99. They'll be out in April. Each one includes like a kind of weird vehicle that I think may all be a part of the classic Ghostbusters, real Ghostbusters toy line. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think I remember a couple. Then there's Diamond, which had also a lot of really cool Ghostbusters stuff. Series 2 of their Ghostbusters select figures, each one includes a piece of the firehouse. So you can build the facade of the firehouse, the front entryway, and it's scaled to the figures. It's enormous, and it looks really, really cool. So far, there's also, same setup as Playmobil, there's Ghostbusters 2, and there's animated Ghostbusters as a part of this line. All of them look great. The animated ones look a little bit more realistic than you might have been expecting. And I was actually talking with a company rep about that, and he said some people were commenting on it. I actually think it looks kind of, I don't really have a problem with it. So, I mean, you can go and take a look right now. There is a Janos Poha figure.
What?
Yes.
Sign me up.
I know.
It's and Janos.
You are like the buzzing of flies to him. he is Vigo. And he comes with a Vigo portrait, and he comes with the baby.
Oh my God. Gold. Sign yep, me up.
I know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's neat. Very quickly, too, I want to talk about the Sonic the Hedgehog stuff in the booth. This is one of their big license reveals for the year. And I don't know, there's a selection of Minimates, which I knew was coming. And the Minimates look kind of odd. I mean, I don't know exactly what I was expecting, but they look different. I think when you if you go to the article and you look at them, they just
they're gonna go fast.
They're a little interesting. They look like they could go fast. They look like they could actually drag you out from wherever you are and beat the hell out of you. That's what they look like. Yeah. So, but there are two statues of Tails and Sonic, which are both really, really neat looking. The Sonic is still pending approval, but you can see it. It is a GameStop debut item, so it will debut at GameStop first, and it looks really cool. So if you're a big Sonic fan, you might want to think about these statues, because they may not be that much money either, because we saw some statues in the DST booth, which are just fantastic looking. They are PVC, so they're not your traditional makeup. They're part of their gallery line, and then there's a line of DC figures, statues rather, and they're like $50 a piece retail. They're really terrific looking. There's a great looking Venom, Carnage, Magneto. There's a great looking Superman. So you can go check that out. In that same gallery, there's the X-Force statues of Domino, Deadpool, and Cable. Those are more expensive. Those are $150 each. But even that is not that much. I mean, when you consider lines like Sideshow with like $400, $500 statues. And granted, these are not as big, but they're really cool looking. There was also a lineup of Pacific Rim 2 figures. There was some assorted stuff that that you could take a look at, including Nightmare Before Christmas, and a line of mini-mates based on Maximum Carnage, the classic Spider-Man storyline, and a whole bunch of Kingdom Hearts stuff. So there's mini-mates, Vinny-mates, action figures. DST is going very big into Kingdom Hearts 2 this year. They have a really neat mini-mate set that includes Tron as a mini-mate. It includes Tron and Daffy Duck, Donald Duck in his Tron gear, and it's really neat. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff for you to check out. That story is up right now, as are all the other ones that I mentioned. You can check out all these photos right now. There'll be tons more posting this week. So hopefully there's not a lot of comic news, so I can just wrap up all the Toy Fair stuff next week without talking for an hour and a half. but that's the Comic Rack / Toy Shelf, whatever you feel like calling it this week, for episode 31 of the Brutal Gamer podcast.
So what was your favorite? If you had to pick one item, what was your favorite thing?
It may not have. I think my favorite thing may not have posted yet. It was probably at the Mezco booth. I love the 112 collection and collective, and they had some phenomenal stuff up. I'm actually on the Mezco website in a video talking about my favorite thing at their booth, which I picked as the Sovereign Knight, the modern Batman 112 figure.
Yeah.
It looks great in person. Looks even better in person.
That's the one that's all armored up, right?
Yes. Then they also had a Cyclops that looks really, really great from X-Men. Cable looks great. And the 112 is just, that's kind of weird.
What costume is it for Cyclops?
It's the Jim Lee one.
Okay, cool.
But they did a riff on it, so he doesn't have like the briefs.
Okay.
And instead of just, you know, like instead of just plain blue material, they put some detailing on it, so it kind of looks like there's like pockets and I guess stitch lines and stuff like that. It's cool.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's cool. And Cable is somewhat Liefeld-esque. He's got like the big shoulder pads, but They did a unique take on him too. So it's a little bit more downplayed than you may be used to seeing like a classic Cable, but he looks cool.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So that stuff will be up this week, but I think that was probably my favorite thing. And then I was also blown away by Diamond and their statues,
nice.
Which I mean, for that price point, it's phenomenal.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, Rick wants to know. Well, you know, I'm going to let Rick ask this because I don't care either way about this. So,
ah,
just with all the Ninja Turtle news and the new ones that were coming out, just wanted to ask everyone which of their favorite was their favorite Ninja Turtle. So we'll start with you, Eric. Why don't you go first?
I don't have a favorite Ninja Turtle. I don't care.
Come on.
I like the guy with the nunchucks.
Oh, jeez.
Man.
I don't know their names.
How?
You've never seen a movie. You've never seen a show. You've never read a comic. You've never... You don't know that much. You know that little about them?
I mean, I know about them, but it doesn't mean I know their names and such. Like, I'm not...
Yeah.
I know their names, but I don't know which one's which.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
I like the orange one, and I like the one with the nunchucks.
That's the same guy.
Yep.
Oh, Eric. What about you, Jason?
Which one is it?
It's Michelangelo.
Oh, excellent. I like him. Jason?
Yes, I like Raphael. He's always been my favorite. Whoa, what happened?
Yeah. We still good here?
We're perfect.
All right. Okay. I think it may have been missed, but I like Raphael.
Yeah. I think I'd have to go with Leonardo for mine.
Yeah. What do you think about Leo not being the leader in Rise of the Ninja Turtles?
I'll have to see what they do with it, but you know, I'm okay with it.
Who's the leader?
Raphael.
Yeah, it's Which something new. I mean, I think it's a whole new take on it. So it is, you know. And literally, how many times have they tried to relaunch this like series? So I'm okay with them doing something this drastic, this different.
Yeah, so, I can see that.
I mean, I'll probably not watch it just because I don't watch the shows, but maybe I'll try to catch a couple of them.
Yeah.
So,
you know, the one thing that bothers me is that they're doing it this fast. I think they should have let it lay for a little while. I think this show is actually going to suffer for hitting this quickly, like the year after the other one came to a close. I think it's going to suffer.
Yeah. Yeah. The only one I don't like out of this new one is Master Splinter.
Oh my God. I mean,
he looks like Brain from Pinky and the Brain. And I don't know, someone who teaches people to do, I mean, in my mind, someone who teaches people to do ninja stuff or karate or kung fu probably shouldn't be this fat little dude. So. But that's just me.
It's like Danny DeVito in Splinter form.
Yes, that would have been awesome. He should have done his voice.
Oh my God. Oh, it's always sunny in the sewers.
Yep. Frank, they could have done all of them. Oh my gosh. That'd be a great episode. All right. So, what are you guys playing? Eric, what are you playing right now?
Been working my way through the Bayonetta games still and Monster Hunter. And I've been playing some Overwatch with some friends at night, but that's it, really. I have not had too much time to play video games this week, so.
Yeah, I hear that.
Same for me. I didn't have much time to play games. But I did play a couple of matches again in WWE. I've been enjoying that, even though it's not 100% what I would have liked, but it's fun. And what else was I playing? I was playing some Street Fighter V, and actually I went back to the Crash Trilogy, and I played a little more of that.
Nice. I've been playing Homefront, some Sea of Thieves, and some Lone Wolf.
What's Lone Wolf?
That's that Choose Your Own Adventure game I told you guys about.
Okay.
Xbox game. Joe Devers, Lone Wolf.
Yes. So, you're enjoying that?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Cool.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Neat. So I guess that's about it, guys. We think this might have been our longest show yet.
That was a long one.
We are at, right now, 139.20.
Whoa. So, look at how much entertainment you get out of this show.
And look at how great the production value is. It's just incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Across the board.
So, just keep listening and keep getting this high-value TM entertainment.
For free.
I shouldn't say that because I don't know if we have that or not, but, you know.
Free.
You know what they say? It's free, so.
It's free.
That's right.
That's our mantra. It's free. Yep.
It's free.
So if you made it this far, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.